something that I don't tell them. Sunday night or Sunday, Friday, I have a funeral. I have a funeral Monday. And with the busyness of the week, you know, and me being sick and everything, I'm so far behind. If I die today, this past week, only a pastor would get this. This past week, I was getting ready to put together a New Year's message. And, you know, it's really amazing how consistent New Year's comes around. It's like every year, you know, and it's amazing how consistent Disney Christmas comes around every year. And so at New Year's, you want to give a message that has something to do with a challenge for the new year. I mean, if you're a pastor, that's what you look for. Christmas, you want to tell the Christmas story. And it's just like I've been a pastor here at this church. I think I've been preaching here at this church for like altogether 28 years, something like that. Do you know how hard it is to tell a Christmas story 28 years in a row and try to add something that's more interesting? Now listen, you probably don't remember at all what I spoke about at Christmas last year. Maybe even what I spoke about Christmas this year. But to me, it's like, oh gosh, I just did that. And I just did it like that. New Year's is the same thing. I thought, what kind of a challenge can I give you for the new year that I have given you last year? And I was just struggling. And then Haley sang that song, and I thought, wow, what a challenge. Did you catch the words in the last refrain there? It says, for you are mine, and then take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger. Lord, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger. Take a lot of courage to say that to God. But Lord, just take me deep. Take me wherever you want to take me. Take me deep. This week, I got this past week, a friend of ours passed away. And one of the son-in-law called me. And he said, Max, my sister-in-law asked her son to do grandma's funeral. And he had never done a funeral. He'd never done anything. And he said, I'm worried for you. I'm worried that, gosh, how's he going to do that? How's he going to do it? Because he'll be standing there looking out of all of us, and we'll be grieving and weeping and everything else, and then he's got to do grandma's funeral. He never does. He said, I'm just afraid for him, and I don't know what to do. Can you help us? And I said, what do you want me to do? Just go over to him and said, dude, you go over there and sit down. I'll do this. What do you want me to do? Let me say this. I'll call him, or you can tell him, I'll help you do whatever you need to do to do this. If you need some help doing this through first year, I'd love to do that. And so he called me, he came in, and we sat down. And this is what he said to me. He said, my family's worried that I'm not going to be able to do this. And I said, that's something. But let me tell you this, the first time I spoke publicly at my grandmother's funeral. My mom asked me at 9:30 the night before the 11 o'clock funeral the next day if I would do my grandmother's eulogy. I never did anything like that before. And I said, take a guess how it went. I spoke about a sentence and bawled a sentence. Spoke a sentence and bawled a sentence. But you know what? I got through it. It was a blessing to me. It's a blessing to my family. And you will be a blessing to because you know what? If I would stand before your grieving family and I love them, I'd be a fallen mess. It'd either be me a fallen mess or you a fallen mess. Because they're hurting and it's hard to not have sympathy with them. And he said this to me. He said, if I don't do this, this is something that I would never volunteer to do. And it scares me to death. But I think that God wants me to. You know what he said? I got chills. This is something I've never done before. Something I would never volunteer to do. But I think God wants me to do this because he wants me to grow. Haley, you know exactly what that's about, don't you? Charles, you know exactly what that is. Because this morning, that's not something that they come up and say, hey, this is what we would like to do. But when we asked, and they said, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I can.
something new. Kathy, you know what that's like, don't you? I mean, gosh, we put Kathy in some of the most awkward situations, and she doesn't, bless her heart, she doesn't even get asked. She just kind of gets thrown in the mix. And Craig, I would say, Craig, he knows what that's like. Craig lives that. Good gracious, he's my son. We volunteer him for, I don't think he's ever done anything in his life he's been complimented with that. It's something that the Lord takes us deeper than our feet would ever wander. And through those kind of things, our hearts, our faith is made stronger. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. I don't know if you remember that story in Scripture or not, but he started preaching on the hillside, and people started coming and coming and coming. Pretty soon, there were about 5,000 of them. It came dinner time, and some of the disciples and leaders came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you need to dismiss these people because it's time to eat. They're hungry, and we don't have anything. And they found a little kid there, remember, that had two loaves and five fishes, or five fishes and two loaves. I don't remember what it was. And Jesus said, and the disciples said, this is all we got. This is about 5,000 people. Jesus said, just bring them to me. From Jesus, he blessed them. They started hanging them out. Everybody ate and gathered up 12 baskets of stuff left over. Somebody go, oh. Yeah. Now that had just taken place. Jesus dismissed disciples, and here's what's going on. Immediately after this, Jesus and his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake, and he sent the people home. Jesus did. After sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. How many of you would have just died right there and, you know, gone on down? Jesus came walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I'm here. Now, I read that story to help you answer this question. Have you ever been in a situation where something happened that was like the coolest thing that ever happened in your life? Or that you had just thought, it had just come to you, man, life is good. That everything is going well. Life is just good. And you begin to celebrate that life is good. Or something had just happened. And that something had went really well for you when you thought life is good. And so you begin to celebrate that good life, and then something comes in behind it and just crashed the world around you. Have you ever, can you identify with that? I think we all can. And so pretty soon, when that happens two or three times in a row, you quit saying life is good. It will come to your head, man, life is good. But you're thinking, but I ain't saying that. Because if I say that, something bad is going to come crashing right in behind me. And so we shy away from saying life is good. Do you know what? I've come to this thought that one of three things has taken place here. At least in my life. Maybe it's different for you, but at least in my life. Number one, I'm being superstitious. Oh, life is really good, but oh, I'm not going to say that because every time I say that, something bad happens. So I'm either being superstitious or I'm being arrogant in the face of God. Life is good. Because of me, life is good. And then things are crashing in behind me. Or God is trying to teach you something that you don't necessarily want to know if it comes to a hardship. And one of those three things. So let me talk to you about those three things. Let's put aside superstition. The scripture says nothing will happen to you that doesn't pass through your father's hand. All right, now he's not surprised if something bad comes along and happens to you. Then go, oh man, never saw that happen. Poor Max. Now that doesn't happen. God knows that things are coming through our hands. And superstition, if you're superstitious, you worship another God. And it might be the God of voodoo. I don't know what it is, but if you're worried that step on a crack, break my mother's back, and so you start walking down the sidewalk missing the cracks, how many of you have done that? I'll be honest with you. I may have done that, man. I've tried to put myself in timing so that I miss them. And sometimes they're put in, you know, they lay them out pretty even. And I got it, man, after I get the first couple, I'm in. But then that some yo-yo comes along and saws a crack. He messes me up, you know. And I got to change feet or something. Listen, you know the reason you don't walk under a ladder? Don't walk under a ladder. You know why? Because you might bump the ladder and something that's on the ladder come down and hit you. But don't walk under a ladder. It's not a good thing to do. Besides that, walking under a ladder, there's a million ways to trip walking under a ladder. It's not because that you caught yourself bad luck. That's not true. Don't break a mirror. I can give you some advice. Don't break a mirror. You know why? It's a mess. That's hard to clean up. There's a mirror all over the place. It's just really hard. So I'd be careful about breaking a mirror. Here a while back, Rick was doing some remodeling. And he put some stuff in a dumpster. And this mirror in a dumpster. And he said, man, I don't really have room for that mirror. Sticks up above the dumpster. I don't remember what it was. He said, really hate to break it. And then we just took turns breaking the mirror. Yeah. Why? Listen, if you are superstitious, you have another God. Because our God says that nothing happened to you that surpassed in my hand. So I think we can put superstition aside. How about being arrogant in the face of God? Something good has happened and I've celebrated it. And then something bad happens and I say, oh man, I was arrogant in the face of God. So this bad thing happens, so I need to not celebrate like that because when I celebrate, I'm arrogant in the face of God. You know, that's not true. That's not true because Jesus says this. He said, I've come so that you may have life and have it with
abundance.
He came so that you can have an abundant life. And when you're sitting on your porch and you're looking around and saying, man, life is good, you ought to do that. I think that you ought to do it more than you do it. I know that we need to do it. Luann and I need to do it more than we do. We need to sit down, sit on the porch, and every once in a while we'll look at each other and say, well, we probably do it more than most people do. Look at each other and go, man, life is good. Life is good. We've really got it made. And most of you that know Luann know that I chose way above my level. I tricked her. We're getting ready to put together some messages to give you about marriage, and we'll tell you the story of how we got together, how we started dating, and how I was going to say how Luann fell in love, but she didn't fall in love with me. She had no other choice. But we'll tell you eliminated everything else. But anyway. I think we want to sit down and say that more often. That's not being arrogant. I think that God wants you to celebrate the abundant life that He gave you. Why would He give it to you if He didn't want you to celebrate? So that leaves this last one. God is going to teach you something you don't necessarily want to know if it comes to hardship. I don't praise God because if I praise God, something bad happens behind it. And I've come to think that what it is, if God wants to teach me something, I don't want to know because it comes with hardship. Listen to the scripture. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth and Christians everywhere. He wrote this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Amen. Jen, do you have an amen? Isn't that cute? Yeah, amen on cue. I found that this week. Jason was showing me some stuff in the computer and I said, what's this? He said, it's an amen. And I said, well, what do you mean? Okay, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Now, this is key in this passage of Scripture. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Let me read that again. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. You know, I thought forever, you can say it.
I was trying to give her a cue.
Yeah, you can say that loud. Amen. Yeah. Now, for years, I thought that God comforted me so that I could be comfortable. No, He comforts you so that you have the ability to comfort others. Okay, so now listen to this. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. You know what He's saying in that passage? You've got to go through some troubles in order to need to be comforted. And so, once you go through that trouble and you were comforted, Now your responsibility is not to be comfortable, it's to pass that comfort on to somebody else who's going through trouble. Because you can say, hey, look, man, that happened to me and I lived through it. Yeah, I'm going to address that. Just for the yeah, that case said that mistake. But listen, that there's a purpose to this. God wants you, he didn't let you go through tough times because he doesn't like you. No, he lets you go through tough times so that he can comfort you. Now you have something. You know, it's deeper than your feet would ever take you, so your faith would be made stronger. And now you have a strong faith. If you just kept it to yourself, what would be the point? And then when you share that strong faith, because you've shared that strong faith, okay? For the more we suffer for Christ, the more he showers us. Even when we are weighted down with troubles, it's for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are confident, we certainly will comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We're confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives. How many want to say, well, sign me up for that? We're like, nobody. I mean, the scripture says, then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to patiently endure the same things we suffer. He's not doing that. God recognizes that. And so he gives me opportunities to learn. Yeah. I can see my own. Yeah. If I can hold the courage, I will. James wrote this. Your brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Everybody go, pop, pop, pop. Yeah, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. It's like you have the worst day of your life, and you go to your best friend and say, hey, can't believe what's going on. And then you spill your heart and you tell them all these horrible things that are going on, and they go, hey, that's an opportunity for great joy. You poke around your nose, would you? Or at the very least, you probably would never go back to them again and tell them about some of your suffering. I mean, then we go off. James didn't go off. He didn't do that. He just said, whoa, wait around the corner, man. Something cool is going to happen out of it. He wasn't going to say. Or you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance doesn't change. You're still letting grow. But when your endurance is fully developed, love to go play the drums. I really would. But I won't spend years and years and years in the cabin trying to play the drums. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, hey, there's no danger to that. Here's my rhythm. And now, listen, don't jump into the superstitious side and say, oh man, you might just pronounce that on me. You'll believe I'm a Christian. Speaking that into being. Listen, if I'm speaking to you, it's a family. Do you know how valuable it is to have a good character? Do you know how valuable it is to have a good character in your community? Do you know how valuable it is to have a good character in your life? Bigger. after your last name again, and I said, Becky, and she said, can you spell that for me? And I spelled it for her, and I said, Sean, that's a camera for me. Ask me if you could hear me, can you sound too? And she said, I thought Regan was doing that. And I went, oh, well, if Regan's doing that, that's no problem. I mean, that's fine. That's it. I said, I'm sure it was a mix up somewhere. And she said, no, that's okay. Just saying that kind of broke the ice. And they said, we want to introduce you to our kids. And so it took the two is the name of the person. And we sort of got that. So they took me into the kids and introduced me. And there's these two girls that were 17. And they did all the talking. Boys over here, this baby was having two girls. And I said, we don't have to do that. Our cousin is going to do the eulogy. And I said, oh, man, that's cool. That's a fascinating thing. Because he can share him so much more.
what is that?
And Sean said, I've been wandering that too. And I said, have you let me wander around like this? And he said, well, yeah, I didn't know it was something you're wearing. What are you talking about? Even though some of them are hard, some of those are hard, they have their tremendous rewards. Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares about us, that you know our wanderings, you know our comings and goings. Lord, that you not only